Good morning, everybody. The message I've got is called Recognizing Christ's Sacrifice. And what I've got is I've got it in three parts. The first part is understanding why God sent his son to come and die such a cruel death. And the other part is I've recognized that when Jesus was here, he spoke to the disciples and all around him, but they don't seem to have understood what he was talking about when he said, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'll be raised. And then the other part is after Jesus has died and the Holy Spirit has come. And I think within the Holy Spirit, therein lies the secret as to why people did not understand why Jesus, what Jesus was talking about when he said, I'm going to die on the third day, I'll be raised. So starting the message, the first question is, why would God let his son come and suffer such a cruel death? And the answer I've got, so the first question is, why would God let his son come and suffer such a cruel death? And we all know the verses. I'm going to go through some of the verses. And the one that I chose was John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So God loved you and I so much that he gave his son to come and die. But okay, he did that. But why didn't he just forgive everybody instead of having to send his son to come and die? And the answer to that, found in Hebrews 9:22, it says that in fact the law requires, and these are the principles God set at the beginning of the when he created the earth. He says the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. So God is just, and he looks at his laws as well. He doesn't say, well, forget that law. The law was set, it said, at the shedding of blood. So he said, I myself am going to come down. My son is going to come and die for you and I. So that's how much he loved us. And in that, we need to recognize that if God loves you that much, there isn't anything he can't give you that is good for you. So how does this apply to us? It's actually showing us the love of God. It's the other bit that... The other bit that I want to talk about is how come people didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. But let me first show you that Jesus did speak many times that he was going to die. He talked about his death. In John 12:24, he says, very, very, I say to you that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about himself. He then says in John 14:29, and now I've told you this before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. And in John 12:27, it shows that Jesus is troubled because he knows what he's going to go through. It says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for it is this hour that I came. So Jesus was having second thoughts, and that shows you that Jesus was human, because if he was God, maybe it wouldn't have mattered that much. But he's having second thought. But he says, but that is why I came. So in this, it is showing us how Jesus was obedient to his Father and to death. And again, it's saying to us as well, to be obedient, to listen to the Father, to listen to God. And we have to follow Jesus as an example, as Christians. There is actually another scripture that I found where God uses one of the high priests to prophesy about Jesus' death, even though the high priest did not know what he was doing. This is in John 11:49. It says, one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said, what fools are you? Do you not realize that it is better for one man to let one man die for the people instead of having the whole nation destroyed? And the Bible goes on to say, actually he did not say this of his own accord, as he was high priest that year, he was prophesying that Jesus was going to die for the Jewish people. So there was plenty of evidence, even in the prophets. Isaiah talked about Jesus dying. But when we look at how the disciples reacted to his death, you see that they almost didn't know that Jesus was going to die and be raised on the third day. Peter had actually gone back to his fishing after Jesus had died. When Jesus was arrested, Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the men. So they were not there. They didn't get the concept, despite the fact that he was with them. And he talked about this again and again. So, yeah, as I've mentioned, Isaiah 53 says, surely he took up our pain, bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God. So, we look at Pilate, the verses that have just been read. Pilate is talking about, this is an innocent man. Then again, he goes turns around and says, crucify him, lets him be crucified. But I think what Pilate is doing there, he's playing politics. He's looking at his job, and he's looking at whether he can let this man go. Thinks, my job is better. I better look out for my position. If he knows that if he lets Jesus go, chances are he would lose his job. So when we come to after Jesus has died, the Holy Spirit comes, and I think the answer in this, in why the disciples did not understand what Jesus was talking about, was because the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. I get this from 1 Corinthians 2:7. It says that, but we, meaning Christians, we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So I'm here to tell you that because of who you are, because you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you things that people that don't know God, that are not Christians, do not have. Jesus says again in another verse that when he, the Spirit, comes, Spirit of God comes, he will lead you into all truths. But another thing that he says is that he'll bring to remembrance everything that I've told you. And that, I think, explains why his disciples, the very people that were next to him, did not quite understand. But later on, when the Holy Spirit comes, they realize and say, this is what he was talking about. It's interesting that Peter denied Jesus Christ, but later on in Acts, we see Peter speaking to the Romans, saying to them, you are the ones who crucified Jesus Christ. He's now got the boldness. He's now got the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And again, with us, one of the messages I want to get us here today is to wake up what is in us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he comes, he will endow you with power. Yeah. And today, as Christians, we've got the Holy Spirit. I've got a few more verses I need to read about the Holy Spirit. So we've gone through why Jesus was crucified, how he died, and the fact that his disciples didn't know that he was going to die and be raised on the third day, though he said it time and time again. But now we're at the part that says that it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, so it says, and it is him that will interpret the Bible for you. So I'm here to say to us, let us rely on the Holy Spirit. Let us remember what God has given us. In John 3:6, it says that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So when you and I were born again, we were born of the Spirit. So the first birth is flesh, and flesh will not hear God. Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. So you and I are born of the Spirit, and we hear the voice of God. So again, that one which says that which is born of spirit is spirit. So brothers and sisters, that's who you are. You are spirit. You hear the voice of God. That should be an encouragement as we walk this walk of faith, that we hear the voice of God. The other thing that we need to realize is the things of God go with faith. The Bible says that without faith, no one can please God. So we have to have that faith. The Spirit of God is in us. And because we walk with God, we hear God speak. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You and I, brothers and sisters, have got the Spirit of God, so you do hear God. So that is the important message, that Jesus left us his Spirit, and by his Spirit, we can communicate with God, we can hear him. So I'm praying that as we go out today, we know who we are. We know who God has made us, what God has given us. Most important, he's given us himself. He said he and his Father will come and make an abode in us. So yes, it is. At the time, must have been sad with Mary and the others seeing that Jesus was crucified. But he said that unless he died, Holy Spirit would not come. And it's when he's come Today we have the Holy Spirit that we are even richer. Yeah, we are very rich because of what God has done for us. He's given us His Spirit. And again, let me read another one. 1 Corinthians 2:10. It says that, but it was to us that God made known His secret by His Spirit. Yeah. So the Bible says that it is by believing that that we are made righteous. It's in Romans 10:11. By believing, you're given unto righteousness, and by confession, you're given unto salvation. So there's two parts to it. One, you need to believe the word of God, not head knowledge, whereby you know all the scriptures. That is very good. But the belief that we're talking about here is in your spirit. Yeah. So the word of God needs to go deep into your spirit. Sometimes it's called heart. Believe in your heart, and you're given righteousness. But then the other action is that the other one is then the action. So the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So we don't just believe, but we actually go out there and do as we have heard. So what we've got today is the Spirit of God, but we have to put actions to it. Yeah. So we need to study the Word of God, believe it, and actually go out there and do it. Yeah. So that's the inheritance our Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Amen.